So I mean, I grew from no followers to 10,000 followers in 2 days. And then I went from 10,000 to 25,000 in 2 weeks.
Erika Cruz is a Latina coach and the host of Chingona Revolution podcast. And her number of followers on TikTok is going to make you drop your jaw. Are you ready for this? She has 200,000 followers on TikTok. And I had so many questions for her. How did she get there? How does your life change when you get that many eyes on you? How does that translate into monetizing her coaching practice? Her answers surprised me at every turn.
You know, I think people assume, oh, the moment I get to 10,000 followers or 20,000 followers or 50,000 followers, everything's going to change and everything's going to be easier.
I sense a but coming after that sentence. In this interview, Erika shares with us how she went from having the dream career in Silicon Valley to becoming a TikTok influencer and mindset coach for Latinas online. Erika has been featured on CNN and the New York Times, and now she can add the global phenomenon to her long list of impressive credits. Come on, let me have that one. Her story is going to inspire you to never give up. So listen all the way until the end for every gold piece of advice that she has for us. Now, we had to cut the interview down for the podcast, but I kept the full interview inside our uncut vault at theglobalphenomenon.com/uncut, which you can access completely free. In the full version, you will hear more about Erika's personal life, growing up with a brother who seemed to outshine her in every way, and how her parents' divorce affected her mindset during those important formative years. Hear also about her first work experiences and how it all conspired to lead her to where she is today. To watch it for free, go to theglobalphenomenon.com/uncut. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts while you're procrastinating from doing something else, I congratulate you on using this time to inject some inspiration into your life. And if you get a moment, please head over to the review section and leave us a 5-star review and say something nice. It really helps support the show. And thanks. Here's my interview with the undisputed Latina influencer, Erika Cruz. Welcome to The Global Phenomenon, the podcast about online coaching, the inspiring new career path responsible for multiple self-made millionaires, opening the doors for experts and professionals like you and me to stop living paycheck to paycheck and design a rich and abundant life with one purpose: to help others. I'm your host, Ina Coveney, six-figure entrepreneur and business coach. Listen for lessons and strategies that will turn you into the next global phenomenon. Today's episode begins now. Hello, everybody. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of talking to Erika Cruz. Erika, welcome to the global phenomenon. How are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much. So there's a little backstory. We were supposed to do this last week and I got COVID and I really, really wanted to get on the phone with you. So I'm like, maybe I can still do it. But I'm like, okay, I can't breathe. And I really feel like you deserve so much energy because of the energy that you bring out in all of us. So thank you so much for helping me reschedule this, because I can't wait to introduce you to everybody. So why don't we start there? Can you tell everybody what is it that you do right now and who you help right now?
Yeah. And I am, you know, things happen and our health is like the number one priority. So I'm glad that we were able to reschedule. And I feel the same way about you, the amount of energy that you bring. So I'm so excited for this conversation. What I do right now is, people laugh when I tell them this, but I am a content creator. And I know that that sounds really like, okay, aren't you also a coach? I'm a coach, I'm a speaker, but at the core of what I do, I create content. And through that content is where I land clients. It's also where I enroll people for my group program. It's also where brands find me to do sponsored content. It's also where people find me for speaking engagements. So at the core of what I do, I create really good content that people find, that people resonate with. But I am a Latina coach and a speaker, and the people that I help within my group program, I run a group program called Courage Driven Latina, which is focused on driven Latinas who are looking to work on a specific courage project, whether that is start a business, be the first in their family to go to therapy, get back in the dating game, whatever it is that they want to do, but they're afraid to do anything that, you know, causes miedo, it requires courage. So that's what I do with my group program. I also work with people one-on-one, and that's more open. Like I work with men, women, it doesn't matter what your background is. And I create sponsored content and do speaking engagements.
Okay. I love the fact that you have grown your business, what seems to everybody who's been watching, so quickly. You have a podcast called Chingona Revolution, and where you tell your full story and where you help people with this courage thing. And the way that you describe your story was, this wasn't an overnight success. This was years and years and years in the making. And I resonate with that, is that the fact that we're none of us is starting from scratch, but you in particular, your growth on TikTok has been astronomical. And we're going to get into that a little bit. But first, let me ask you, how many followers do you have on TikTok right now? And what is your impression of your growth on TikTok? What do you tell people about it?
My current following on TikTok, I'm almost at 200,000 followers. I'm like 1,000 away or something like that. And I'm teetering. I've gotten really close, and then I lose some followers, and then I gain followers, and then I lose followers. And that's kind of just how social media and TikTok works. But, you know, I'm still human. Like, I think people think it's going to change you, but I'm still the same person with the same fears, with the same mindset, with the same everything. I'm still human. And it doesn't, you know, I think people assume, oh, the moment I get to 10,000 followers or 20,000 followers or 50,000 followers, everything's going to change and everything's going to be easier. But I've actually found that my Instagram, which has significantly less followers, I'm at 20,000 on Instagram. That's where all my clients actually come from Instagram, not even from TikTok. Yeah. So I know that you like really focus on having a smaller audience, and I can attest to that because I have a platform with 200,000 followers. And I would say maybe one out of every 20 clients I get come from TikTok. The rest come from Instagram. Wow. So another thing that I tell people is I was at TikTok at the right time. So, you know, whenever opportunity and preparation meet, that's kind of when like good luck happens. And I was already creating content, and I happened to be on TikTok right before the pandemic when everyone got on. And I remember the first podcast I was ever on, I told them to follow my TikTok, and I wasn't even a coach yet. At that time, I was still doing food blogging, and I was still trying all the things that I tried before I became a coach. And the interviewer laughed at me because she was like, ha, TikTok, my little sister's on TikTok. And, right. You know, and I was like, you laugh. And I actually said this in the interview, you laugh now, but look back at a few years and you'll see that TikTok was the next big thing. So between my background in technology, I knew the young kids are the fastest adopters of technology. And if they are there, it is the future. So I knew that. Secondly, I knew there are not that many creators. So if I'm on there now, I'm going to have a bigger chance of people following me and of people seeing my stuff. And that's exactly what happened. The pandemic hit, everyone was in lockdown. I was creating content about mindfulness, self-development, mental health, everything people needed at that moment. So I grew from no followers to 10,000 followers in 2 days. And then I went from 10,000 to 25,000 in 2 weeks. And then from 25,000 to 40,000. And once I got to 40,000, that's when TikTok reached out and said, hey, we're looking to promote this new program. It's focused on learning, like educational content. So they called it Learn on TikTok. So then I got involved with TikTok. And then because I was working with them, I was incentivized to make more content. And to be quite honest, in the last few months, I've really slowed down because you can only focus on one thing at a time. And the one thing I've been focusing on is my podcast and promoting it on Instagram. So it's okay to take breaks from things.
Yeah. So much to unpack, but I really don't want this to be like the TikTok episode because you have such a rich message that I really want to get into. But I'm going to ask you just one more TikTok question, because you have been on it for the past couple of years and you have been creating content consistently. You have worked with TikTok. So I'm curious to know where you have seen TikTok change? Like, is the kind of content that you're creating different now than when you first started? Like, what do you think is working right now versus what used to work before?
Totally. It is a new platform. And I don't even blame TikTok as a company. I think it's really easy to blame the companies, like, oh, Instagram's changing, TikTok's changing. Well, the truth is the consumers are changing, right? Mm-hmm. When you have, the reality is now you have, nobody's laughing at you for being on TikTok anymore. People are praising you for being on TikTok, meaning more people are on TikTok now than ever before, meaning your content has to capture people's attention within the first 2 seconds. And if you've lost people, ya los perdistes, you lost them. You know, it's not like Instagram stories, and people treat TikTok like Instagram stories. Instagram stories are really casual. You grab your phone, you slowly think about what you want to talk about. You kind of, no, TikTok is like, three ways to grow your audience. That's the first thing you have to say. It really has to be clickbaity, which mm-hmm. sounds bad, but I mean, deliver the value as well. But if you think about like what you would put as a subject line for an email, that should be your first few seconds on TikTok.
So let's go back, because you have amassed an amazing amount of success. And I know that there's people out there who are tuning in to see, how did you get there? And I really believe everything starts with the beginning. Can you tell us, where did you grow up? What was your family dynamic like? What was it like to be you when you were growing up?
Yeah, I grew up with, I'm the daughter of two Mexican immigrants. So I was born and raised in California. My parents are both from Mexico. My dad's from Mexico City and my mom is from Jalisco. And growing up, my parents started off really, really poor. Like so much so, my mom didn't even have shoes in Mexico when she was growing up. And she grew up on a farm, like no running water, no electricity, really like off the grid, like farm to table before that was, you know, before that was cool.
Before that was cool.
Exactly. And my dad as well. My dad, he's the eldest of 9 kids, and his dad left when he was pretty young. So he became essentially the father of his family. So my parents both came from really nothing. And by the time I was born, they had done pretty well for themselves. They had already purchased their first home. They had an investment property. I mean, they went from like rags to riches, essentially. So by the time I was born, we were okay. We weren't wealthy, but we were okay. And I have an older brother, and my older brother was always really book smart. Mm-hmm. And I was always more the people person. And I think growing up, I really internalized the message of, I'm just not good at school and I'm not smart enough, because I was surrounded by a sibling who had straight A's, who was really great at math, was really great at science, was really great at numbers. And I failed to recognize my own strengths and how it was actually a good thing that I had different strengths than my brother. But at the time, it was really hard to see that. And I think especially with immigrant parents, they're not trauma informed, you know, they don't know any better. So I think a lot of comparison goes on in like Latino households.
Yeah.
I think what I've learned, especially like I spent 8 years in the tech industry, and I was so embarrassed by having curly hair and being this like loud Latina, until I realized that these things that set me apart actually were my strengths. The fact that I spoke Spanish, it was what allowed me to go to Mexico, to Spain, to all these different places to represent my company. The fact that I like enjoyed creating content, I started this essentially like a video podcast for the company, which was really fun for me to do. Wow. Like, and you know, I really held back on what made me different the first few years, until I was like, F that, you know, like I have these things for a reason. And I think, you know, as a child, now that I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, I was supposed to be different, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. If my brother had to do what I do now for work, he would hate his life. And if right. I had to do what he does for work, I would hate my life. Could you imagine if we were all the same? Like the world wouldn't function. So back to, you know, growing up. And then when I was about 12, my parents got a divorce, and we went from kind of having everything we needed to suddenly we were broke. We were broke because my parents were in court figuring out who was going to keep what. My parents were really just dealing with their own stuff. Divorce is so difficult. And I, little Erica, was, you know, it, like my inner, you know, there's inner child, my inner teenager really grew up quickly. And I started working at 14. I was like pretty independent by the time I was 14. I was responsible for making meals at home for my mom and I. So there was just, it really shaped the way that my future looked. And then I think I just kind of rushed through everything. And now that I look back, I'm like, what was the rush? Like, what was the rush to get out of college as soon as possible? What was the rush to go work as soon as possible? And now I feel like I'm in, you know, now that I'm my own boss, I'm like, okay, do we really want to like work all summer, or do we want to take a month off and go to Portugal? And that's what I did. I took June off and went to Portugal, and I wouldn't regret it. I mean, I don't regret it. I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah. So I'm going to like quickly fast forward to right before the pandemic. So you do end up going to community college and then moving into UC Berkeley, ending up getting straight A's, graduating from there. What was your major in college? And what did you think at the time you were going to be doing for the rest of your life with this degree?
I just first want to commend you on the extensiveness of your research.
It's what we do. It's what we do.
So yes, I went to community college, ended up getting into Berkeley. I decided to go there. And when I was there, I was like, I'm going to be a media studies major. And I thought I was going to be like a news anchor or like work for radio or create commercials or something like that. And it was an impacted major, meaning that they only allowed a certain amount of people in because it was heavily impacted. So the moment I got there, I ended up declaring the major. I didn't even know what I was really getting into because Berkeley is actually a research institution, meaning that they are known for their research. So I thought I was going to be doing things like media production and learning how to do things like this. It was all about like theories in media, how media impacts society, like things that were not what I thought. And I was like, what did I just get myself into? Right. So, but I still enjoyed learning about it. And then I ended up adding a second major. It was actually a minor, which was ethnic studies. And I loved that because ethnic studies was all about the different ethnic groups in the United States and their experiences immigrating here, their experiences when they got here. A lot of politics of like, of South America, politics between the US and Central and South America. And it was just very much like, it was very meaningful to learn that history as well. So those were my two majors. And then I ended up getting recruited my last year at Berkeley to work at a tech company. But now that I look back, I'm like, wow, that even, you know, the time that I spent working in the tech industry, which was not 2 years, it ended up being 8 years. It actually really helped me. And I mentioned the last tech company that I was at where I was like, okay, what makes me different and how can I bring my strengths to the company? That's when I did the video podcast interviews with our clients. And I really got into content creation through my job. And I even became a yoga instructor while I was at that company. And I became the yoga instructor for the company. So even though I was in technology, I still found a way to bring my skill set there. And now that I'm a business owner, I'm so grateful that I worked in technology as long as I did because I learned so much.
So you are in this corporate job, you're traveling the world, you're making the money. I do encourage everybody, because we're definitely not going to have time to squeeze everything in here, I encourage everybody to go check out your first episode of your podcast of Chingona Revolution, because they're going to get all of these details. You talk about your broken engagement, you talk about, you know, moving back in, you know, at home. So I want everybody to go like pause, listen to that, and then come back, because we're going to fast forward here to 2020. The pandemic hits, right? Everybody kind of retreats to work from home. You choose like, okay, well, I guess if I can work from home, right, let's just go and move in with back in with my mom. What I want to hear about is, how did the coaching come about? What was that spark that made you go, I think I can be a coach. I think I can do this. And launching Purpose Driven Latina, which is now called Courage Driven Latina, for the first time. Tell us about that.
I have a cousin who, her name's Vanessa. Vanessa would always tell me, Erica, I think you should be a life coach. And she said this to me probably like 3 times. And I was like, get life coach, Nikki Nada. Like, I don't even know what a life coach is. I didn't even know. So when I began to create all of this content during the pandemic, I knew that I didn't want to work with people by just creating recipes or by doing yoga, by being a yoga instructor. I knew that I wanted to help people when it came to their mindset and when it came to their mindfulness journey and when it came to their soul and to actually just be happier. And I had spent the year before really going deep into meditation. I did meditation retreats. I read all the meditation books. And I was like, especially the Latino community really lacks mindfulness. Like we have a lot of suffering from history of oppression, from so many different things. So that was my focus. And then I saw a post on Instagram for a group program to help Latinos launch whatever they wanted to launch. And I was like, I don't even know what this is, but I feel like I need to do it. And I had the sales call for it. And of course, the investment was like $5,000. I had never invested in anything like that before. The biggest thing I had invested in before that was yoga teacher training, but it was really obvious what was going to come on the other side. I was going to make money as a yoga teacher. You know, that one was easy. But, you know, I thought, okay, I have the money. It's just my own fear of getting in my way. And I've been trying to do something on my own for a long time and it hasn't worked. So, and I just knew there's no way I'm going to go pay. It was like $5,500. There's no way I'm going to go pay all this money and not take myself seriously. So I joined the program. And when I joined, the second week we worked on mindset and I was like, this is it. I want to do this for Latinas. And that's in that program is where I created Purpose Driven Latina, now Courage Driven Latina.
Can you tell us about your first launch? Do you remember what went into it, what your expectations were, what ended up happening? Tell us about that. I feel like a lot of people, they try the launch process and our expectations like never really match reality in that first launch and it makes us quit too soon. So I would love for somebody to hear from somebody who has been a success, what your first launch was like and what can we learn from it?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you about my first launch and then I'm going to tell you about my fourth launch because they were both very different. My first launch happened mainly on TikTok because that's in the middle of my growth on TikTok. And I made so many mistakes, but you know how they say ignorance is bliss? That was me. I was so ignorant. I didn't even know what a launch really was. I didn't know how long it should be. I had nothing prepared. I was making things up as I was going. I traveled to Mexico in the middle of it. I was in my mom's like ranch, hardly had reception. It was not an easy experience. I totally burned myself out. But because my TikTok account was growing so much, I ended up with about 200 applications for the program.
Wow.
I made a lot of mistakes though. I didn't share what the price was. So it meant I was spending all this time with people who thought this was free. So I was just giving people way too much time, getting on the phone with everyone, working 12-hour days. So that was my first mistake. The second one was that I had nothing prepared. So I was trying to take sales calls and create content as I went. I wasn't really sending any emails. I was treating this like my sales job when I first started tech. And it was not really working out. So I did end up with a great group of women, but I was so dead after. I was exhausted. But you know, at the beginning of your business, you're so enthusiastic about it that I think that is what kept me going. But I made a lot of mistakes. My fourth launch, I went into it a little bit like, oh, I've got this because, you know, my first couple launches were good. I probably got like not even 50 applications for it. And I probably signed like half the people than I did the first time. Mind you, the price was different at that point, but my fourth launch, it was just a great example of how your mindset is everything. I think because with the first one, it was just like, let's just see what happens. And like, I have a full-time job. So if nobody signs up, that's okay. Like I still have a job. So there, I wasn't putting that much pressure on my business. But then once I got to my fourth launch, I think I was almost at like $200,000 in revenue in my business. And that launch was supposed to help me get there. So I put so much pressure on myself and the energy that I showed up in was like very needy. It wasn't fun anymore. it was more like, this is business and this is what I have to do. And I never recommend running your business from that place. And then my fifth launch, I learned from the fourth one and I was like, okay, things need to change. By my fifth launch, I pre-recorded all my social media content. I had all my emails written and scheduled. I had people on my team who were helping me, an assistant, as well as an online business manager that helps with like operations. So I wasn't trying to do everything myself. I made sure I wasn't traveling. And I also did a pre-launch, meaning like for a month before the doors opened, I was already talking about the program because people, I think the mistake people make is they're like, oh, I already shared two posts about this program. Well, not all your followers saw your two posts. Right. And it takes people about 5 or 6 times to see something in order for it to really resonate with them. Very rarely are people going to see one post and say, oh, I need this in my life.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. Like, you're basically trying to educate someone on how you can help them, on what their problem is, and what you actually do, basically 3 seconds at a time, because that's really the attention span of each post. So if you break it down like that, how are you supposed to teach something that could probably take you an entire masterclass to teach in 3 seconds? You need to be posting a lot more than that to accumulate many 3 second opportunities for them to learn something from it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I need to hear everybody. I need everybody to hear stories of launches so they don't get discouraged and they just keep moving to that, so they can get to that fifth launch, right? Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something. You've made multiple 6 figures in your business. Now, there are people listening right now who have, you know, a group coaching program in mind. Maybe they've launched it once. Maybe they just had a few people in there and they can't even imagine how to make that program be a multiple 6-figure business. So what is the key to turning a coaching business into a multiple 6-figure business?
Do less, do more of what works and do less of the other stuff. Everyone on the internet is telling you different things. And there's different business models, right? Like your business model is different than mine. Kat del Carmen's business model is different than mine. There's so many people out there doing things in different ways and it all works, but it's because they're sticking to their own business model. But when you are creating a group program and you're changing the name every time or changing the curriculum every time, like, no, keep what works and just make small changes. And essentially, and actually Kat del Carmen says this, repeat success, like teach your brain to repeat success. And I couldn't agree with that more. I think the reason that my group program has had the success it has is because it has its own personal brand now from all of the alums, right? And rather than trying to get a bunch of people in your program, focus on the people that are in your program.
Yeah.
And so earlier I had talked about how sometimes like with TikTok, like I'll lose followers and that's very normal. And, or even with my fourth launch, how I had half the people as my first launch, and we can make that mean so much about ourselves and we can be focused on the people that we wish were in our program or that we wish were our followers. When the reality is I had 10 or 16 people in front of me to work on, like, why not focus on them or on TikTok? Yeah, maybe I lost like 500 followers, but I still have 199,000 followers to focus on. Like, why am I worried about the 500 who left? Like, let them go. Those weren't the right people anyways. So it doesn't matter if you have 2 people in your group program or 3 people in your group program, that's still a group. And those people, the experience those people have is going to dictate your future launches, because the experience that those people have is going to build your confidence as a coach. It's also going to allow them to speak highly of you. And word of mouth is way more important than your content. Like, if all you did was give people such a good experience that they're telling everyone about your group program, that's better than creating a ton of content, in my opinion. So to answer your question, it is do more of what works and focus on the people who are your clients rather than the people who you wish were your clients, and give them a really good experience.
I love that. One last question about launches. How often do you launch your program?
I launch my program anywhere between 2 to 3 times a year. But I think the next year coming up in 2023, I'm looking at a launch a quarter, which scares me a little bit, but the reason that I only did 2 launches this year is because I went to Portugal for a month and took time off. And then I changed the name. So the rebranding, and I had to refilm the curriculum, and I just gave myself that grace because my business could have been a $500,000 already. And I was like, what's more important, getting to $500,000 or doing things right? And yeah, doing things right and living my life was more important because the $500,000 is going to come regardless. So yes, let me just value, let me give my nervous system a break and not put so much on my plate and have fun with it.
This has been amazing. We just have two more questions for you. What do you think is the biggest misconception that people have of you as a successful businesswoman?
That it all happened overnight. It didn't. It took like, it's years in the making of me creating content, of me showing up, of me failing at things, of me putting myself out there. And yes, while TikTok was a little bit of what seems like overnight success, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to show up the way I did if I hadn't been creating content for years before that.
Yeah. You use your experience for what you need right now. It all, yes, it all builds. Yes. So finally, if everybody who's listening had to do what you're about to tell them to do, and they have to do it in the next 24 hours, what would that thing be?
Journaling. I would say that journaling is probably the reason that my business has had so much success. Journaling has allowed me to be self-aware. Journaling has allowed me to identify the not helpful thoughts that I have. Like, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough about this. People don't care about my group program anymore. Any of those. And then I can challenge them. So even if like you do this exercise with journaling, identify all of your fears and all of the thoughts that you're having and write them down. And then underneath each one that you write down, ask yourself or write down, is this true? It's never true. And you can always find evidence of how it's not true. But, you know, sometimes we don't even want to share our own fears and our own doubts. But the truth is everyone struggles with self-doubt. And, you know, as you get to new levels, you're going to have new levels of self-doubt. So if I could create a rule, it would be that everyone would have to journal and talk themselves or essentially coach themselves out of their self-doubt. And like that is how you build confidence. That is how you move forward, even though you're scared.
I love it. And I'm going to go ahead and do that right after this. So Erica Cruz, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and with your advice. Where can we find you and get more from you?
You can find me on Instagram, on TikTok, and even on LinkedIn. I create pretty consistent content on LinkedIn. And my username at all of those places is the Erica, that's Erica with a K, Cruz, and Cruz is C-R-U-Z. So you can find me on social media there, or you can go to theericacruz.com. I am about to open doors for my group program, Courage Driven Latina. It's the first time I've opened the doors since the beginning of the year. So my DMs have been like, when are you opening? Or like, I've gotten emails about it as well. So yes, if you would like to get on the wait list, you could get on the wait list by going to theericacruz.com. You'll be the first to know when doors open, and there will be like a special bonus for those on the wait list.
Awesome. And we're going to put all those links below. So Erica, any parting words, anything you feel like people really need to know right now?
Yeah, I think just the last thing I would say is if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously have dreams for yourself that are big dreams, and dreaming big can be really scary and it can be really lonely, but keep listening to podcasts like this and know that your vision was for you. It's not for your friends. It's not for your parents. And it's really hard for people to understand what you're trying to do unless they are doing it as well. So unless your parents are also entrepreneurs in the online space, they're not going to get it. And that's okay. So rather than expecting people to validate you and get what you're doing, how can you validate yourself? How can you surround yourself with people either in person or digitally by following us? And surround yourself with people who believe in what you're doing and who also have similar goals, because that's going to take you way further than looking for validation from your culture or your parents. Because if you have an itch to do something, it's for a reason and you should follow it.
And immediately everybody needs to go to their podcasting app and subscribe to Chingona Revolution and start listening from the beginning. Erica, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Hey there, Ina here. After this interview, you may be wondering how you can also have a profitable launch even though you don't have 200,000 followers yourself. I got you, because that's all I've done for the past 3 years. Stay tuned for the next companion episode, where I will teach you about the three components of successful launches when you have a small audience. Follow and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss it. If you would like to listen to the full interview with all those details that only the super fans want to know, go to theglobalphenomenon.com/uncut and get free VIP access to the full library of all the uncut interviews. And I'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening. You know that part in this episode that made you go, oh my God, I need to write that down? I want to know what that was. So go over to Instagram and find me at Your Engagement Coach and send me a DM. I want to hear it. And if your business bestie is missing out on all of these juicy strategies, make sure to take a screenshot of the episode and share it to your stories. Remember to tag me so that I can thank you personally for all your support. I'll see you on the next episode.